The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 399. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. I know what many of you are thinking. 399 episodes, John. You're so close to 400. I'm sure there's going to be a huge celebration. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. While I'm very proud to have produced 400 episodes of my own independently produced podcast, I don't think I'm doing a bunch of hoopla. By no means does that belittle my accomplishment, but I just think like 400 is so close to 500 episodes that I'd rather do, you know, something epic and something big for the 500th episode. And especially because I know that my guys over at the Canned Air podcast just celebrated their 500th episode, and it was a ton of work. And if you haven't checked out that episode, go over to your favorite podcast outlet, put in Canned Air podcast, listen to number 500. It's a really fun episode, and you'll also hear just how much work Jeremy, Randy, and Jack put into that episode. And so I'm not ready for that type of commitment for episode number 400. So we'll just leave it at that. But definitely episode 500, whenever that'll be, 100 episodes from now, I'll definitely make something big happen for that episode. But funny, we're talking about the Canned Air podcast because they had my guest on as a guest a few months ago. And I enjoyed the conversation so much that I reached out to Jeremy and Randy and Jack and said, hey, I want to have this guest on. And they said, have at it, John. It'll make a great episode. And boy, were they right. My guest for this episode is the gaming mixologist, Frankie Francis. Now, you may say, what the heck is a gaming mixologist? He is a bartender that has created some amazing drinks that are based off of video games. We'll talk about his background in the industry of bartending, why he decided to create some of these drinks, what's the production schedule like for making his Instagram and TikTok videos featuring these drinks. We even talk a little bit about professional wrestling because Frankie's a huge wrestling fan. I also asked him some things that I wanted to know about being a bartender. So there's one crazy story at the end of the episode too that you don't want to miss. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick pause to thank my great sponsor of the PVD Cast. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. I mean, they've got it all. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, comic book supplies, a great pool system, a friendly staff. They just got in some retro Kenner Star Wars action figures. I just saw them in a post online from them. So basically, they got you covered for whatever you're interested in. So you got to stop over at the store if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can follow them online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're very active on their Facebook page, as I just mentioned just a few moments ago. Follow them over at WGComics. And I thank the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics for being a great sponsor. I truly appreciate it. I say it all the time, and I mean it. They're an awesome comic book store and an awesome sponsor. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with the gaming mixologist.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening with a man that has a very unique project that we're going to talk all about. It might be something that you maybe, if you're like me, didn't really think was maybe a thing, with all due respect. I'm joined, of course, by the gaming mixologist himself, Frankie Francis. Frankie, how are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me.
So I just got to ask real quick, is that a rude thing that I just said? Is it that maybe it's something you didn't think about when you talk about your project, the Gaming Mixologist?
No, I don't think that's rude at all. It's the reason why I started was that I want to just combine work with play. I've been a gamer for most of my life, and I've been a bartender for 15 years, sometimes part-time, sometimes full-time, sometimes very full-time. And so combining the two was a really good creative outlet, and it's been a lot of fun so far. So it's that's kind of how it all, you know, kind of came together. So
okay, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Gaming Mixologist here in a few, but I have a few just ordinary questions that I'm curious about in the world of bartending. And for the listeners that are tuning in, maybe they don't know, or maybe there is no difference between the word mixologist and bartender. Is there a difference, or is it a synonym?
It's a synonym to a degree. I don't mind either one. The reason why I went by the Gaming Mixologist is that the gaming bartender was already taken. There was somebody on TikTok that had the name Gaming Bartender. There was somebody completely different on Instagram that had that. So I looked up Game Mixologist and I was like, okay, it's available. So I'm actually going through the process of trademarking it. So the name will be like mine officially. I was somebody who was kind of saw a mixologist as almost kind of like a, you know, kind of uppity, douchey bartender. But like, I've kind of embraced the term now. I think the term is more kind of socially acceptable than before. So before it would be like mixologist, what is that? So, but I take a lot of pride in the work I do as a bartender. So I mean, I bartend full time, and then make the videos. And so, you know, so I think they're mostly in this day and age, they're synonyms.
Okay. And you said you've been a bartender for 15 years.
Right about that, yeah.
So how did you get into bartending?
So I actually have a degree in exercise science. I was a personal trainer for a long time. And right around like 2008, when like the whole, you know, the market crashed and all these other things happened, I lost a lot of business because, you know, personal training can be kind of a, you know, there's an expense to it. But I wanted some extra money, and I was in a bar one night. And I want to say I was in Boston somewhere, and I'm watching the bartender work. Now he's maintaining all these different conversations, talking about all these different subjects while making drinks. And you could tell the guy is really like proud of his craft. He's not just like, oh, some of this, some of that. You can tell he's like properly measuring. He's like, you know, making the drinks properly and still engaging with all of his guests. And I'm watching him going like, you know what? He's talking a lot about sports and it's not my forte, but like, I could do that. Like, I have the personality for it. I have the outgoing nature, and to learn the craft of bartending yet would take some time to learn any craft. But I thought of like, I just thought like, you know what? I can do that. And so I decided to give it a try. And I started working as a bar back. Basically it's a bartender's gopher, basically go for this, go for that. At a bar in Boston in the North End. And that's where my bartending career started. I eventually started bartending on that bar. And I've worked in every kind of establishment since then. So I've worked in dive bars, I worked in upscale restaurants, fine dining, Mexican restaurants, Asian food restaurants, Brazilian restaurants, cruise ships. So I've kind of run the gamut on a lot of those things.
Cruise ships. Well, that sounds like a pretty sweet gig.
It was fun. It was mostly like harbor cruises around Boston. So it wasn't like I was on, you know, like a Carnival cruise, but you get some fun and you get some unique stories from that. Like, especially if you work a lot of like, you know, private events and weddings, they can get kind of crazy. and you also never know what that crowd's going to be. You might prepare for, okay, this is the most popular spirits and, you know, obviously you prepare for this stuff and this stuff, but then you never know. It could be a huge, you know, tequila crowd that night. It could be a huge gin crowd that night. It could be a Bud Light and Miller Light crowd. We're just popping beer bottles all night. Either way, it's fine. You know, you just kind of adapt.
When you started bartending, did you have a mentor that kind of took you under his wing or her wing and showed you the ropes? Or did you attend bartending school and then ended up bartending at that bar in North Boston?
A little of all the above. So okay. I went to a bartending school, and the reason why I use quotes for that was that it's a fun class. You do learn a lot, but it's almost kind of laughed at in the industry because it doesn't guarantee you a job. Like, you learn how to make drinks. You don't know how to interact with a guest. You don't get that much knowledge of spirits. Like, okay, what is gin? Like, what is that? What is tequila? Is it besides something that, oh, it gets you drunk, it goes in this drink and that drink? It's like, no, there's a lot to learn those things. And so you only get that from experience. You only learn about those things by actually doing the job. So when I went to the bartending school, I think I applied to probably 50 bars and restaurants before I even got somebody to bring me in for an interview. Wow. And fortunately, that was just, I had a friend who knew this person that got me in. They needed a bar back, so I started with that. And while I was bar backing, I learned to bartend. So there was two bartenders there. One was not great to me, but one was very open to helping me try to learn the craft. He said, look, if you just do what I need you to do, cover me, like follow my instructions, get me all things I need to set me up for success as a bar back. And on the downtime, I will teach you how to bartend. I will teach you the craft little by little. And he kept true to his word and did exactly that. So, and I forever thank him. His name is Ron, really nice guy. I will forever give credit to him for that. So it'd be one night where it's okay, we're making old fashions tonight. So when we're making a lot of old fashions, I would be the one sitting there. He'd be like kind of sitting there next to me, watching me do the job. Okay, now we're gonna work on Cosmos. We're gonna work on espresso martinis or whatever it was that night. So, but he was very helpful with helping me just, you know, get the craft down.
A few moments ago, you talked about your very first experience seeing that bartender, you know, do all of the drinks that he needed to make, but still touching base with his customers. Uh-huh. I've often heard that you got to have the gift of gab to be a bartender. Is that accurate or is that not accurate in your opinion?
Definitely accurate. There's times where I work in the restaurant I work in currently. I've been there for about a little over 4 years. It's very high volume. So yes, you need to be able to have that gift of gab, but also there's times where I'm on the service bar where I'm basically making drinks for everybody but the bar guests. So basically the entire restaurant, the entire deck, every server making their drinks. And that's not so much about talking with your guests, it's about speed and efficiency. So it's a different mindset I go into for when I'm working on the service bar versus when I'm actually interacting with my actual guests at the bar. So it's important to be able to do both. There's times when I prefer one more than the other. There's times where I'm like, oh man, I don't want to be on service bar tonight. The stress, answering all these stupid questions from servers and these crazy requests that don't even make any logical sense. I just can't handle tonight. I'm going to be in this section over here. I'm going to create a fun environment. I'm going to create a fun group. So, because I always say I have the fun group tonight, but in reality, the bartender has a lot to do with that. And, you know, you want to be able to give someone a good experience when they're in, but you don't want to take over their night. So if it's a couple that's at the bar on their first date, you want to give them enough space, but still be attentive. And there's an art form to that.
Okay. All right. And obviously Ron taught you that aspect as well of bartending.
He taught me that part in the initial beginning, but that's just something I learned from, okay, you know, years and years of bartending. Another guy who was who I worked for, his name was Jamie, great guy that I worked for. I've known him most of my life, and I worked at his restaurant for a few years, and he taught me this skill that really helped me as to increase guests' length of stay, make them have a lot more fun, and that is to engage in a conversation with a guest or a couple or whoever's there, and then somehow incorporate the total strangers next to them in that conversation. And now, next thing you know, those people who don't know each other are now conversing with each other. And then I can step away and do my job, make drinks, do whatever else I need to do, because the bartender has to wear many hats behind the bar. Now they're talking. They're going to have an extra drink and stay longer. They're going to actually split an appetizer together. Even if they've already had dinner, they'll split a dessert together. Like, now you've made some new friends with people. And that's an art form that Jamie really taught me. And I forever thank him for that. And that's a skill that I try to teach other bartenders, is trying to engage total strangers with each other. And again, that is an art form and a skill set. Once you learn that, at the end of the day, you want to increase your guest length of stay. And so if they're staying at the bar longer, they're going to spend more money. They're going to remember you more often. They're going to come back to see you again. Like, hey, Frankie was great. I got to go back and see him again.
Okay, well, let's start shifting our attention over to the gaming mixologist.
Sure.
I'll tell you right now, the one thing that while looking at all of your videos, I don't have TikTok. I have Instagram. So I was following you through Instagram. Just the level of complexity some of your drinks have, it blows my mind. And so I guess I got to just start off with, how do you decide that you're going to make some of these drinks? Is it inspiration from obviously you and your love of video games, but are there some other avenues, some other inspirations that caused you to go, I'm going to mix these things together and see what we come up with?
It usually starts with the drink first. There's times when not since I've been doing the game exhaust for a while, I might have ideas for, oh, this game has a cool title, that'd be a cool drink title, or I like this character, I should name a drink after this person. But ultimately, the cocktail usually comes first, because at the end of the day, the drink's got to taste good, and there is a trial and error to that. So I try to make sure that before I present the drink in a video, whether it's, and all my videos go on all the platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I've never done Twitter, but I try to make sure the drink tastes good, because at the end of the day, I am giving someone a recipe. And so I want someone to follow the recipe. That's why I give it out. I'm not just going to make a drink. Hey, this is Bionic Commando. Okay. Well, why is it that? So I end up calling it, the main character's name is Rad Spencer. And I did a little sponsorship with this company called Portland Syrups, and they gave me a root beer syrup. So I thought, I'm going to make a root beer old fashioned. We'll call it Rad Spencer's Root Beer, and there we go. So sometimes, at the end of the day, the cocktail comes first to make sure it tastes good. There's times when I'm working on it, and I'll be like, something's missing. I need to add a little bit more to this. It's too tart. It's too sweet. And play around with that. And then once I do that, the name for the video game might come at the same time. I might have the name for the video game later applied to it. So, but at the end of the day, the cocktail and the quality of that cocktail is the most important part of it. I mean, I can name it anything I want. I can name it, something super vulgar and doesn't make it a good drink. So there are drinks that are a little, that have a vulgar name to it, the Adios MFR but that's a very strong drink that doesn't taste great. So, but I try to have a good quality cocktail, a fun name to it. And I throw in some little video game clips to kind of remember, oh, here's the game here, me playing it. And so, but at the end of the day, the quality of the cocktail is what matters the most to me and matters the most to, hopefully the viewers. I mean, I've gotten some messages from, followers saying, hey, I made this drink. They show me a picture of it. And I'll be like, great. Go ahead and post it if you want to, tag me in it. And, help me get some more fans that way.
How difficult is it at times to get that drink to look, because you have to layer the ingredients, correct?
Some, yes. There are some are easier than others. The biggest thing with that is it goes back to high school chemistry. It's about density. The example that you might be alluding to, I don't know if you've seen this one or not, was a drink called the LJN Iced Tea.
Yes. Yes, that's so the one I'm referring to.
Yeah, that drink was a pain in the ass to make, man. So again, that's all about density. So I did that initially with to try to do a rainbow colored drink, because the LJM was this notorious video game company back in the 80s. If you've watched Angry Video Game Nerd, you've probably seen him rip apart. I think he's gone through every game that LJN ever made, and their logo is a rainbow with LJN on it. So I wanted to look like the LJN rainbow, and then I actually reposted again for Pride Month back in June. That drink was very difficult to make because, again, most of the colored spirits, your blue Curaçaos, your Mel liqueurs, they usually have a very low alcohol content, which means if you add them to a drink separately, it will sink right to the bottom. Mm-hmm. So for that drink in particular, I had to mix I had to mix those cordials that have a high sugar and low alcohol with a higher alcohol spirit. So for example, to get the blue layer to stay where I wanted to, I mixed it with tequila. And I say that in the video too. So if I remember correctly, grenadine's the red layer on the bottom. Then it goes vodka and sweet and sour mix. And then we have the green layer, which is a silver rum and a melon liqueur mixed together. The blue layer is tequila and blue curacao, and then I float Empress gin, which is like a butterfly pea infused gin that's very purple in color. And even though I had the densities right, where I had enough tequila to get it to sit where I wanted to sit with the blue curacao, so I had that color, I had to be somewhat fast with it, because if one ice cube moves, that can change the entire layer to the drink. And all of a sudden you've got your red, yellow, green, blue, and now everything moves and the drink is now black. So I had to shoot that probably 3 or 4 times to finally get the layering down once I had the ratios down of how much I wanted to have it. So it's a complex drink to make. That's one of those few drinks that I will not make if someone comes to my bar. So I always, when I've had people come to the bar that I work at and say, hey, can you make me any of your drinks from TikTok, Instagram? And I say, if I have the ingredients, yes. There are certain exceptions I will not do, and that's one of them, just because the drink is such a pain in the ass. And also, if you put a straw in there, it's done. So it looks great. There's another one there that's Mike Hagger's Mangria, which is literally an entire bottle of whiskey and like a little spray bottle, like spritzing Pepsi on top of it. Yeah, I won't do that one either. So, but
I was gonna ask you about that. That was the next statement I was gonna say. I think there's another one you won't make because I think that you might hurt somebody with that drink.
Yeah, that's a funny story of how I got the mug too. So, that was the mug. The big huge mug was a gift from my friend Jeff it was his first wedding. He's been married twice now, and he gave me this big mug that has my name on it. So it's just Frank on one side of it. And I was like, oh, it's really cool. And so what I would always do is I drink, my two favorite drinks are whiskey and water, but always separate glasses. I would usually have that filled with water and ice. And there was one day I came home from work and I just needed a stiff drink. And I was pouring and I realized, how much can this mug actually hold? And I had a 750 milliliter bottle of something, probably bourbon. And I just was like, how much can it fit? Like, oh, it's an entire bottle that can fit in this glass. That's a handy bit of information. So. And I remembered that information and decided to do something with it where it was really over the top. And I'm like, okay, how would I relate that to a video game? Like, who would drink that much whiskey in one sitting? And all of a sudden I went, Mike Hagger from Final Fight. Because he's this big jack dude, but he's also the mayor of the city, just beating up the people who voted him into office. So, but that's one I will not make for I'll do a mini version. I mean, I'll do like a mini Mike Hagger and do like, you know, a couple ounces of a bourbon, and if I can find a spray bottle, I'll just do the spritz to make people laugh for it. But there are limits, though. But most of the drinks, and some of the drinks I've made on the TikTok videos and Instagram videos, they've ended up on the bar that I work at's drink menu. So one drink I had a couple of years ago I posted called Sunset Riders, which I'm going to reshoot that video for this year for the fall season. That's like a mezcal apple cider kind of drink that was on the menu before at my work. The Kid Icarus Cream Skull is currently on the dessert menu at my work. Let's see. The Dig Dug Daiquiri was on the menu at one time. River City Rum Punch was on the menu one time under different names. They made me change the names for, cause they're like, I don't know what the frig River City Ransom is. So I said, okay, we'll call it something else. But there's a smattering of others that actually did make the list as well.
You've made my night, because I was going to ask if I love Dig Dug. I was going to ask if you did a Dig Dug drink, and you've done one. You did the daiquiri. What was in it? Can I ask real quick?
Yeah, of course. So a daiquiri is one of your classic rum drinks. It's not, you know, the frozen strawberry kind of thing. So a daiquiri is typically three ingredients. It is rum, lime juice, and sugar. So with the Dig Dug daiquiri, I did exactly that. I used a very strong overproof rum. It was called, OFTD. It was a Plantation OFTD, which stands for Old Fashioned Traditional Dark. But if you like sipping rums, it stands for OF, that's delicious. I don't know if I can swear. I don't know if I can swear.
Oh, you could swear. I don't care. That's right, fine. Well, you can swear.
I call it, I say, it's, oh, fuck, that's delicious. So it was that rum with, I had to add an ingredient to cut the rum back for the actual drink at work, but it was that. I used an Angostura Amaro along with some fresh lime juice. And then instead of just using a regular sugary simple syrup, I have a cinnamon simple syrup, which I basically just throw some smoked cinnamon sticks in the syrup while it's cooking. Let's overnight. You get this great cinnamon flavor. It almost tastes like drinking a Cinnabon. It's that good. So you get some nice, like, you know, you get the kick from the rum, you get the spice from the cinnamon, plus that lime juice flavor. So it's a really just nice, delicious drink.
That's cool. What's your favorite video game drink that you've made so far?
Ooh, that's a hard one to answer. That's a really tough question to answer. Sunset Riders, I really like. That's a good drink. Because again, I love mezcal. Apple, it's a good fall drink. My favorite drink overall. That's a really hard question, John. River City Rum Punch, I liked a lot. There was a couple God of War drinks that I liked that I made. It was a Queen Persephone. That was a good one. There was a gin, pomegranate, rosemary cocktail. Those are the ones off the top of my head that I can think of. I'm reposting a Chrono Trigger drink. So that was pretty good too. That was like a blackberry, like Cosmo kind of flavor. I named that after my favorite character in Chrono Trigger, which is Ayla. She's like, I don't know if you ever played. Have you played Chrono Trigger before, John?
I have not. I'm not familiar with that game.
It's an RPG game. Involves a lot of time travel and multiple timelines. But you travel to the far future, the far past, and there's a cave woman from 65 million BC. Her name is Ayla, so I named the drink after her. It's Ayla's Skull Smash. So those are probably my favorites off the top of my head. I'm sure if I look through the whole list, I'd find something else I like, but those are probably my favorites.
Well, while we're talking about video games, what are some of your favorite video games to play as a fan?
I am probably the biggest Zelda fan on earth. I have all the Zelda games. Actually, right here, I have one of my shakers is right here. If you can see that or not, it's got Skull Kid on it from Majora's Mask. Mm-hmm. My dog is actually named Zelda. That's actually her name. So huge Zelda fan. Castlevania. I'm a Nintendo fanboy more than anything else. So all the big Nintendo franchises, like, you know, I love Mario, Metroid. Outside of that, for like, you know, PlayStation era, I'm a big God of War fan. Uncharted. I was never an Xbox person, but I'm mostly a retro gamer at heart. So the big Nintendo franchises. So I said Zelda's number one. Metal Gear's up there too. So Zelda, Metal Gear, Mario, Metroid, Castlevania. Those are kind of my go-tos right there.
Okay. Do you have plans on incorporating any of those video games into new drinks that you are going to be working on over the next, you know, I don't know, few weeks, few months, whatnot?
Yep, absolutely. So interesting to note, I've never done an actual Mario drink. Like, I've done Donkey Kong drinks. I have done a Super Smash Brothers drink. But I've never done one for Mario. So I need to come up with some for that. I have done a Metroid Martini. That was actually the first or second drink I ever posted was the Metroid Martini. That video is on my social media. And I made that at work. And I'm actually wearing a mask. It was still during COVID time when I made that video. So that's how long ago that was. I have some Castlevania drinks I'm going to be doing for the month of October. So I have, I'm going to be doing a few of those. Because with October, I want to have more kind of like the Halloween themed drinks. And I think there are Castlevania vampires and all this stuff. It's a perfect time. So I have four Castlevania drinks that I'm going to be doing in the month of October. I'll be posting them in the month of October.
Cool.
So that'll be up there. Well, I have other Zelda drinks I want to do. There's one in particular I'm having a hard time finding this one ingredient for it. And I'll probably do another Majora's Mask drink. I'm a huge Majora's Mask fan. I have some Ocarina of Time themed drinks coming up. Lots of stuff in the pipeline. Plus I have a whole notebook full of stuff for Pokemon drinks coming soon, some more of those. I've done two Pokemon drinks already. I have another one coming up, as well as some venture into movies, like tonight with the time of recording, I'm posting a Blues Brothers drink. Here's in the Blues Brothers is a scene where they go to where John Candy's in the crowd when the Blues Brothers are about to perform, and he orders an orange whip. So mm-hmm. I have an orange whip cocktail I'm actually going to be posting tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's I mostly stay toward video games. If I'm not doing a video game related drink, I try to still keep the video game motif. Like with the bar set up behind me, I have like, you know, all the classic Nintendo stuff on the side behind me. I have my shakers that have, you know, video game characters on it. I'll have a video game tie on. So I might have a Pac-Man tie on or a Donkey Kong tie on. Video game music, so you still know that even if I'm not making a video game inspired cocktail, video games is still the main kind of theme of what I'm doing.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Frankie for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, tons of comics from every era, a friendly staff, a clean store, a great pool system, they got it all. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online at wgcomics.com or on Facebook, just search for @WG Comics. You know, speaking of that, let's talk real quick about the fact that you love wrestling. You told me that while we were setting this up, and you're wearing a Hulkamania shirt tonight. So
I am, yes.
let's talk a little bit about wrestling. So who are some of your favorites to watch in the ring?
So I grew up in the 80s, so I watch everything from just before WrestleMania 3 up until probably like 2010. I started phasing out watching on a part-time basis, where I'd watch the big pay-per-view shows like WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and even to this day, I still follow stuff mostly on YouTube. But growing up, I was all about. I've probably seen probably 35 shows live. I went to WrestleMania in when it was in Boston. So the main event then was Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, who also won the title for the first time. I went to King of the Ring 2000. I went to TNA Lockdown 1 year when it was in Boston. Tons of Raws, SmackDowns, Nitros. But I was the biggest wrestling fan on earth for probably from the time I was about 6 or 7 up until probably in my early 30s. I was the biggest wrestling fan. I could name you every champion, every wrestler's real name, every match on every show. I was obsessed, man. So
did you venture to Boston Garden for any of the shows, or was TD Garden now the when you started going to events, was TD Garden now the arena, or was it still Boston Garden?
No, it was the old Boston Garden. The first one I went to was the main event was Jake the Snake versus Ted DiBiase. That was my boy. The only wrestler I never saw from that era, though, that I wanted to see, I never got to see Andre live. And that's just because by that time, his health was going way downhill. He was barely doing TV at that point. So, but huge Hulkamaniac growing up. Macho Man, loved him. All the guys in the 80s and the 90s. I watched in the 90s, I started watching like everything. I was really watching a lot of like WCW. When I discovered ECW, like toward the end of the 90s, I was watching that. I was watching everything. I never missed a Raw, and I would flip back between Raw and Nitro every single night. Even when that period of the mid 90s, when it was kind of cartoony and not as cool to be a wrestling fan, I was still watching.
So
I was watching I'd watch Duke the Dumpster Drosy. It didn't matter who it was, so I'd watch everybody.
All right. You know, I'm trying to think, has there ever been a wrestler that had the bartender gimmick? I don't think.
No, but it's funny because like I actually came up with a character called the Mixologist. I was watching Raw one night. I hadn't watched Raw in a long time, and I was watching with a friend, and we were watching Baron Corbin was wrestling, who I've never really I was never a big fan of his. Like I remember he had the long stringy hair, and he was already balding, looked like Hulk Hogan with his haircut. But then he shaved his head off, and then I hadn't watched in a while, and I tuned in, and I'm like, he's wearing like a black button down shirt with the sleeves rolled up. You see the tattoos hanging out. I'm like, and my buddy's watching going like, why is Baron Corbin dressed like a fucking server? And I'm like, he just looks like he's more, well, you see the tattoos hanging out, it looks more like he's a bartender. I'm like, no, he's an evil bartender. He's the Mixologist. So I thought of that as like a wrestling gimmick. Like that'd be hysterical. Like you call him the Mixologist. But, cause like I said earlier, like a Mixologist can mean kind of a douchier kind of bartender, but but if you're going to be a heel, you got to be a heel. So you don't want to be the cool heel. You don't want the fans to cheer. You want the fans to boo you. So give them a reason. I feel like in wrestling nowadays, a lot of guys are afraid to be a true heel. They want to be the cool bad guy. Like the NWO was supposed to be the bad guy, but they're getting cheered. Everyone wants to be the cool bad guy that all the hardcore fans cheer when they're supposed to be booing. But at the end of the day, you got to get heat. You know, you got to get heat. You got to be the reason that people pay money to see you get beat up by the babyface. So, yeah, that's one problem with wrestling nowadays. You have too many top guys who are half just getting booed by more than half the arena. Like, I have no disrespect to John Cena, but, like, you'd see him come to the ring and the crowd would be just booing the shit out of him. And he's supposed to be their top good guy. And he would win the crowd over with his promos, which is always great. But as a fan that was kind of like, all right, this character's kind of stale, kind of boring. It's very, the WWE uses the term polarizing. And it's like, no, your top guy's getting booed and they shouldn't be. Roman Reigns got through that for a while. And how did they get that to stop and make Roman Reigns a more credible superstar? Turn him heel. Roman Reigns is the biggest thing in wrestling. So
I was going to say, I think Roman Reigns, Dom Mysterio, MJF, top three heels in the business right now, and they don't care. They want to be booed. Yep. They absorb it. They love it, and that's a throwback to the times that, you know, I'm in the same era as you with my fandom. In the 80s, it was all about booing those bad guys, especially if they were from Russia.
Yeah, I mean, my buddy's a huge AEW fan. He showed me MJF, and I'm like, this motherfucker is not afraid to be a heel. He is not afraid to piss people off. And when I heard that Dom Mysterio had turned heel, I was like, oh, how's that going to work out? And then I actually watched him, like, he's getting some fucking heat. Holy crap. Like, I was shocked. I love the mullet he's got rocking, like the little Eddie Guerrero tribute. Like, it's, I kind of thought, like, because I still think he was so cute when he was a kid. So I'm like, how's he gonna be a heel? But he's probably, I mean, he's probably one of the biggest heels in the company, if not the biggest. I'm shocked to say that. I'm like, I would not have thought that little Dominic Mysterio would be such a hated wrestler, and he's getting booed for all the right reasons. Not just like, oh, we don't like to see you. It's like, no, he's doing everything right to get heat. And from what I hear, he's always watching film. He's asking questions to the veterans besides his dad and say, hey, what about this? Like, what do you think I should do with this? And he'll try it, he'll apply it, and he does it. And MJF takes it really far. I mean, he'll go to meet and greets and, like, be flipping off little kids for pictures and stuff. He's trying to get some good heat, and it works. So it's nice to see that for a change with the bad guys. Because, again, the other day, it's like, you know, I want to be that guy where it's still real to me. It's like, so I got to believe it, you know. And those guys especially, they're doing it.
Have you thought about doing wrestling-themed drinks? And I know you say you want to stay with the video games, but, I mean, Tecmo World Wrestling there, you know. I remember Tecmo Wrestling. There was plenty of Starman and the Amazon, and, you know.
I 100% have thought about doing wrestling cocktails. So, you know, for whatever way, and at work, I do this all the time where I was, Tito's Vodka, like, sells 2-1 out of all of our vodkas. So we'll be like, okay, yeah, Tito's and soda, whatnot. And I'll make a Tito's and soda with a splash of cranberry. I'll drop it. I'll be like, all right, one Tito Santana, and I'll walk away. And one time I dropped it off and I said, here's your Tito Santana. This guy goes, Arriba. And I'm like, yes. I was not expecting a reaction. Usually I get a confused look like, huh? I've said Tito Jackson too, like for the Jackson 5, but like, but no, when the guy literally said Arriba, I was like, I couldn't help but get pumped up. But I thought about it, but that's a huge rabbit hole because, you know, I'll do like a wrestling themed, like maybe a wrestling week or a wrestling month, or I'll post like just wrestling cocktails and stuff. But, you know, there's still a lot of video games to do before I get to that.
Okay. Well, I got a couple miscellaneous questions, you know, as I was preparing to talk to you. I have to ask, what's the cup of shame?
Oh, the cup of shame. So this goes back to when I work service bar. So when a server rings in drinks for a table, say, okay, I'll have one Miller Lite, one Cabernet. Okay, they go to the computer, they type it in, one Miller Lite, one Cabernet. It gets sent in, I get a little ticket that will say what that server needs. So I prepare the drinks for them. And what I do is I put the drinks on their ticket in the order. So if there's like three different white wines, they can see that they're in a row. So the Sauvignon Blanc is in the front, the Chardonnay is in the middle, the Pinot Grigio is in the back. Now, what the server is supposed to do is they take their drinks, they put them on their tray. Before they go to the table, they take their ticket, and there's a big little stabby thing that you basically take your ticket and put your ticket on top of that. Now, that's how the bartender knows, at least for me, that I made those drinks. I don't need to make those drinks have already been made. The ticket's gone, out of sight, out of mind. Well, if I'm busy on service bar and there's a ticket sitting there and I'm just in that mode, making as many drinks as possible because all those ticket machines are going and going and going. But that ticket's there. It's like, did I make that drink? I don't remember. So the server is supposed to punch their ticket. If they don't punch their ticket, they go into the cup of shame. Their ticket's on display for all the other servers. I circle their name. When I first started doing it, I didn't give an explanation as to what it was. The bartenders all knew. And I'll be like, oh, Joey's going to the cup of shame. They'll be like, ooh. And then Joey go over like, what's the cup of shame? Like, you're in it. He goes, but what is it? I'm like, you're in it. I wouldn't give an explanation. Eventually, I would I can't remember if the servers figured it out or if I finally just cracked home. Like, look, stab your tickets when you get your drinks, because otherwise you go in the cup of shame. And that person will stay there all night until another server makes that mistake and then they replace them.
Okay.
So you might be in the cup of shame all night. The record for the most cup of shame tickets was 7, which I'm like, stab your tickets. It makes your job easier. It makes my job easier. Just stab your tickets, man. So I do that to basically just bust my service balls. When you're on service bar, it's busy. The ticket machine is printing constantly. There's times I go home and I hear that ticket machine in my sleep, like printing up more tickets. So it's you got to create your own fun sometime to kind of make a smile.
Has it ever caused you grief? Like, has anybody got super pissed off about that?
I haven't been doing it that long.
Oh, okay.
It's been like a couple of years and it's not consistent. Because there's times where I'm not into it. I'm sucking. I'm moving slow. I'm not working the efficiency level. Then on nights like that, I'm not going to do it because I'm not feeling great. I don't want to piss anybody else off. But has anyone ever come to me and like really angry about it? Not to my face. I've heard someone say, hey, so-and-so's a little pissed around a cup of shame. Like, so-and-so's going to stab their tickets. Sorry. It's never been a huge confrontation thing. I mean, most of the servers that I work with, especially now, they're like, all right, I messed up. I get it. So most people are usually cool with it, but it's not something I do every night. I mean, it's not even every night I do service bar. I haven't done it probably, we had a crazy, crazy summer at work this year. So I don't think I did it all summer. I think the last time I did it was probably in the spring at some point. So probably like maybe May, early June, I might have done it then. I barely did it this summer at all.
Did you manage to pick up that engine gin? The one that looked like it came in a container of like rubbing alcohol or whatever?
Yeah, it looked like a container of motor oil. I didn't buy it. I ended up buying... I'd spent enough money at the liquor store that day, so I didn't do it. I thought it was funny. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And I tried to find some reviews online, and there's not really a lot. Like, there's their website. Of course, you're gonna put over your own product on your own website. But I was trying to find reviews of like, is it any good? I mean, it's an organic gin, so it seems like it could be. But I couldn't really find any reviews for it when I was at the store. So I was like, I might try it, but like, I also want to buy a gin that's going to be disgusting, because there is some nasty spirits out there, some nasty products. So even though I like gin, I want to make sure I'm buying something good. I don't want to waste my money, because then it's like, okay, now I have it. If we get something at work and I try it and I don't like it, then it's no skin off my back. But if I'm dropping $35, $40 on a bottle that I just think is disgusting, then I'm just kind of stuck with it.
Well, one other thing that I saw on your Instagram, which was the fake fingernails that you had found somewhere in your bod, which was gross, by the way.
Yeah.
Is there anything that tops that in the wild tales that you could tell from the bar?
Yep. There it is. I don't know if that was from bachelorette parties are always a challenge, because bachelorette parties, they're fucking savages. Like, just with a bachelor party, it's interesting, because like with a bachelor party, usually if they come into your establishment, they're not really gonna cause trouble. Usually it's usually a bunch of guys. They come in for they're gonna come in for a drink, maybe two. They might have dinner, or they may just go somewhere else. It's a stop. Usually they just like to try, they're just trying to get their buddy drunk and tell him how his life is over. That's kind of how most bachelor parties are when they come to a normal restaurant or bar. Bachelorette parties, though, can be savages. Whenever I see a grown woman in a tiara and a sachet, I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be a long fucking night. There was an instance where I was working, and this happened at lunch. This is not even a dinner thing or a late night thing. A bachelorette party came in. Now, let's see if I have a glass here. So I'll use a snifter as an example. Now, this is a snifter glass right here, but usually I would have these hurricane glasses, which are a little bit longer. You see like tropical drinks in it. And the glass would usually kind of hang on the kind of ceiling of the bar. They're all kind of hanging down. Keep that in mind for the story. This bachelorette party comes on. It's about probably 10 of them. And they brought, and they've got their phallic necklaces, their phallic straws, and they brought their own centerpiece, which was a giant black phallus. And they brought it and they sat in the middle of their table. And they didn't come to the bar really at all. Their server was kind of taking care of it. They're having some drinks. And at one point, I turned my back And the next thing I hear is smash. I'm like, what the fuck was that? I turn around and my entire bar is covered in broken glass. All those glasses hanging above on the ceiling are just shattered. There's glass all over the bar. There's glass in my fruit. There's glass in my ice well. I had to throw out all my fruit, burn all my ice. And in the middle is that big black dildo. And I'm like, what the? I don't know if they were wrestling with it. I don't know what happened, but somehow that centerpiece left their table and smashed all my glass around. I'm standing there looking at broken glass and a big black dildo going like, so confused as to what actually happened. Here's the worst part though. One of the girl, I think she was the maid of honor. She comes up with like a couple of napkins, picks up the black dildo, gets as much glass off she can, and then just quietly brings it back to her table. Never apologized, never nothing. And I'm sitting there going like, I don't know what to say. Like, I can't yell at this person. I can't be like, what the hell is wrong? Like, I'm so shocked that my glassware is destroyed. I can't make any drinks because, again, there's glass in my ice. There's glass in my fruit. There's glass everywhere. In the little salt coaster that I use for margaritas, there's glass in that. And just, I had to close down the bar. I'm like, listen, there's another bar in the establishment. Just so you guys have to go there because I can't make a drink right now. So, and yeah, that's one of the more shocking things. I mean, other times, you know, people will have bad behavior because, you know, people are not in their right mind when they're drinking a lot of alcohol. People are not in their right mind when they're hungry too. I mean, I don't know how you are, but I get hangry if I haven't eaten in a while, and I can not in my right state of mind. But that's one that popped in my head a lot, was the dildo smashing my glass. So.
All right, last question before we start plugging on social media.
Sure.
If you could have a drink with any person, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Well, my answer for a long time used to be Vince McMahon, because I just find Vince McMahon fascinating. But in recent times, I think I need to change that. I would love to have a drink with my grandfather, my dad's father. He passed away when I was 17, and he wasn't much of a drinker, but I'd love to just like have a whiskey with him and just kind of shoot the shit. Kind of just tell old stories about, you know, this and that. So for famous people, I mean, you know, I'd love to have a drink with like someone like Ryan Reynolds. I'm sure we drink his gin, aviation gin. I mean, any of the guys in Iron Maiden, I don't know if they still drink. I know the guys in Black Sabbath don't drink anymore, but something along those lines. I'd love to have, if Lemmy was still alive from Motorhead, I'd love to have a Jack and Coke with Lemmy. But number one that list for would be my grandfather, just to be able to just have a drink and just kind of just, you know, tell old stories with him.
Cool. Well, let's talk about where folks can find you and all of your hijinks. Where can they find you on social media?
So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at The Gaming Mixologist. Anything I post on either page usually ends up on the other. So, and it goes on TikTok, ends up on Instagram. I have some stuff on TikTok I don't post on Instagram, but I'm looking to change that because my following is bigger there. I am on Facebook under my regular name, Frankie Francis. I still have my Facebook as just me, and then I'll post the same content. But yeah, Instagram, TikTok, at The Game Mixologist. My website is thegamemixologist.com. That's being updated right now. My friend Andrew Lavolo, that's going to have a lot of new stuff coming soon over there. And yeah, that's where you find me.
Awesome. Well, Frankie, one thing we forgot to talk about, but maybe when it comes out, we'll talk. You can come back on and we'll chat about it. You have an ebook coming up pretty soon that you're working on, right?
I've been working on that for a while. It's not going to be released anytime soon because I'm still looking into the legal parameters of it because, you know, at the end of the day, I am making cocktails that are based on properties that I don't own the rights to. So I need to figure out the legal verbiage to put that out without, you know, losing my shirt. So most of it is actually written on my laptop, but I need to figure out how to publish it, how to get the legal kind of stuff handled. And once I do that, it'll be available for purchase at some point. It'll be on the website eventually, but I'm going to have some stuff on thegamingsologist.com, some merch coming soon, work into some glassware, some t-shirts, little stuff like that to start out with. And that'll be available soon, hopefully by the end of the year.
Awesome. Well, Frankie, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me tonight. I appreciate it.
John, this is awesome, man. It was really, really great talking with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I will be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with the gaming mixologist, Frankie Francis. And I want to thank Frankie for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. I think it was a pretty fun conversation and one that makes me glad that I am not a bartender. I don't think I could handle the poor behavior, as Frankie told us about that one story in the bachelorette party. And man, that was wild. But nonetheless, check out Frankie on Instagram and TikTok at The Gaming Mixologist. Check out all the cool concoctions of cocktails he is making. And so, with that, it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you would like to do so. You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. I just called it Twitter. Well, you know what, Twitter X, whatever. you can also leave me messages over on the Facebook and Instagram and Threads. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want to be a little bit lengthier in your correspondence, drop me an email. The email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And now I need to let you know where you can hear this great podcast in case you want to share it with some of your friends or coworkers or whatnot. First of all, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly and is the easiest way to get each and every episode. But if you listen through any of those major podcasting outlets, the PVDcast is there as well. Just go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. As any content creator will tell you, your interaction with your podcasting app or your social media app is incredibly important. Please go on over, give me the rating you think I deserve, and give me a review. It doesn't cost you a dime. You can say whatever you want in your review. But again, I need the ratings and the reviewings to push me up the charts. It would help me out tremendously, and I would really appreciate it if you did. And by the way, while you're doing that, don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But wait, I forgot about two other places where you can hear this great podcast. First of all, every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page of the PVDcast, you can hear that week's episode. And if you are a fan of internet radio, then check out the PVDcast Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Croc Radio, CROC Radio out of British Columbia. Just go to wherever you find internet radio stations and put in CROC, and I guarantee you will find links to take you right to that great station and listen to not only my program, but all the great shows on CROC Radio out of British Columbia, Canada. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.